This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw. From Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
John Pollock and Wei Ting with you in our finest hoodies for everyone tonight.
What are you wearing? Maroon? Is that a maroon hoodie or is it red and just the camera's not balanced? What is that?
It's I think you could go maroon. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And my lighting was so off last week that I wore a shirt that was a completely different color than what it was. Well, I shouldn't say completely different. It was like blue, but looked black. And then I spent like 25 minutes on my own in this room adjusting. How does it look?
I think it's a little darker. It could probably be a bit brighter, but I mean, I think it's fine. Most people are listening to this anyway.
Okay, because like there was one show last week where it looked like I was auditioning for Jesus Christ Superstar. It was a little too bright, so we're working. My computer is just the bane of my existence. So
it's all good. Thank you for trying. Yeah,
here we are, another week, more wrestling to discuss. Afternoon wrestling. If you want to dive into the XL version of the show, we just spent 40 minutes going through all of the news from the status of Trey Miguel and what has happened with his non-AEW arrival. Our thoughts on the premiere of a AAA over the weekend, as well as today's Road to New Beginning show at Corcoran Hall, and discussing all the latest as it relates to SmackDown schedule coming up this month with the Olympics in February and the big debut of Ilio Lafleur on NXT Tuesday night.
Got to get used to that one.
I imagine by the end of the year, him and Shiloh Hill will be buddy-buddy on NXT. We're going to get vignettes with those two.
I'm sure they have something in common. Yeah, I'm sure they'll find that.
If I can't get AJ Styles being introduced to pronounce Ilio LaFleur's name, then Shiloh Hill is the next one. Looks like time's ticking on AJ, so Shiloh Hill is going to be inserted into that role. But we have 2.5 hours of Raw to get to. The SSE Arena in Belfast, Northern Ireland. WrestleTix, last number, 8,578. So a lot of people had noted last week about the fact that they were, you know, just kind of referring to this show as taking place in Ireland. And of course, there's quite a history here that, you know, there is quite the difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And tonight, it seemed like the wording was more from Balor and from Becky was the island of Ireland. Was how they described it. So, I mean,
right.
This was a discussion point last week. So,
there are a lot of sensitivities, I'm sure, as it relates to that particular nomenclature. And so, are the Irish satisfied?
I didn't get to take an informal poll, but if not, do let us know.
Okay. I mean, they wanted an excuse, I suppose, to make it sound like a hometown, home location for Finn Balor.
And not for Becky, who ended up having to play Drew McIntyre and cut a heel promo on the crowd during the commercial break. But we will get to that. Gunther started the show, and he brags about putting Bill Goldberg to sleep and making John Cena tap out. He is on his road back to the World Championship. And tonight's Raw was significant because it felt like the company woke up and realized, oh my God, the Royal Rumble's in 13 days. So tonight was all about, hey, we've got two Rumble matches. And Gunther became the first of many on this show to declare their major for the Royal Rumble in Riyadh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big news. But someone who is not happy about this is AJ Styles, who comes out and he gets a terrific response from this crowd in Belfast. And Styles does not want to move on. He wants a rematch at the Royal Rumble. And Gunther turns him down. So AJ is like, I've got two options. I either make fun of his dick or I ask, are you scared? And Gunther is like, oh, no, I'm not scared. And he reminds Gunther that I made you tap out like a little bitch. And so the crowd chants little bitch at Gunther. Gunther explains, I have no incentive to wrestle you. But then all of a sudden, an idea dawns upon Gunther when he says, you put your career on the line and I will face you at the Rumble. And so AJ will give him an answer before the end of the night. And Gunther says, unless you're a little bit scared. And AJ was going to have to Skype home to, well, I guess he can't Skype any longer, but he would have to call his wife to figure out, should I do double duty in Saudi Arabia? And I know that her answer was, well, is it double the payoff then?
I think every title challenge or match acceptance should be met with, I got to ask my wife.
That is not a trope that is used too often in pro wrestling. They could get a lot of mileage out of this. You imagine like Hell in a Cell with Taker and Foley. If Colette says yes, then I'll say bang, bang.
I love this. They did a great job with the segment. Okay. I always thought the whole like Gunther saying, I made John Cena tap like a little bitch thing. I almost found it a little too like gimmicky and a little too cartoonish for my liking when it comes to a guy who I perceive as like a very realistic person in Gunther. Like that to me was a much more of a cartoonish sort of like mustache twirling type of take on him. But seeing how they played this out with AJ now being able to taunt him for tapping out like a little bitch, I do really like that sort of poetry. And I thought they built to the career stipulation here in a pretty logical and organic way. I mean, AJ didn't even lose clean last week. He was screwed, essentially. And it bothers him so much that he's even willing to put his career on the line. So I thought it flowed and made sense as a story.
At this moment, with the lack of build for the Rumble, like this feels head and shoulders the biggest thing on the show for
the Rumble's always going to be like the big thing because of
ramifications. People are going to be really into this because everyone knows AJ is actually retiring and you've got this gimmick with Gunther and I don't think it's a wild idea that you could have AJ win and then falls to Gunther later, but I think many people are going to be expecting like Gunther to win this match, and I think that there's a realness to this match that nothing else on the show is going to have. Like the Rumble, it's the Rumble, and yes, that will be, you know, the day of. A lot of people are going to be psyched for that, but this feels like a big match. This feels a lot bigger than what than like the Drew McIntyre title defense is on that same show.
If it's Sammy, I think that would feel plenty big for Saudi. I mean, I totally agree with you though. Like between the two Rumbles and now this match and potentially Sammy versus Drew, like, yeah, it's like a pretty stacked card. And I imagine they'd add a women's match in there or something like that. But I think the only thing holding this one back is the fact that it's so early in the calendar year. You know, this being the first pay-per-view of the entire year, it you wouldn't necessarily think this would be AJ's actual last match. But for
you're really holding on to that Frankie Kazarian match that they set up on Thursday.
He will retire on TNA.
Do you think they would do TNA dirty like that and not give them the AJ Kazarian match?
AJ's
last
actual
week?
Retirement match will take place on AMC, okay, against Frankie Kazarian at some point. Yeah. But that's really the only thing I think holding back maybe the maximum sort of like believability of this match possibly being his last one. That doesn't mean that crowd won't get into those near falls. I anticipate they will. And I also hope that this will springboard some sort of long-term story. If AJ beats Gunther, well, maybe there's still a rematch to be had later on in the year that might actually be his final match.
Yeah. I mean, there is also like the poetry of it's like it's 10 years from his debut at the Royal Rumble to this year's Royal Rumble as well. Anyway, so I think it's a compelling stipulation, obviously.
Yeah.
Maxine is in the back and Natty has shown up. She's going to be in her corner tonight. And Maxine says, great, I'm so ready for Becky. And as Natty is left on screen there in the back, just hovering. This is their gimmick. They just stalk people. Are Julius and Brutus, which I think we're done by design here.
That's really interesting. Seeing the possibility of. By the way, this was Natalia, right? Not Natty.
Yeah, I guess they called her Natalia here, although she's morphing into the Natty character.
In this moment, she's still Natalia.
This is so silly.
This is totally different. But the idea of having her attached to, like, you would assume, like, being the new leader of the Creeds and Ivy Nile is interesting because, well, what does it tell you? Like, what do we know about Chad Gable's, like, prognosis, you know? This guy
is posting training videos, and he looks like he's about to explode. He looks in pretty great shape right now.
Okay, well, I mean, I find it fascinating. I guess it could be Natalia. Again, we're assuming. The Creeds just like to hang out in the back because they got nothing else to do, so it could be nothing. But assuming Natalia joins up with them, you would assume Natalia would play some sort of leadership role. And then what would Chad Gable be coming back to? Because he's not going to be El Grande Americano anymore. Lost that.
It's crazy to watch El Grande Americano on these Raw shows and see him on AAA, where it's like, this guy is a megastar there. And here he's just, like, he's a fun character, but he's, you know, he's Santino Marella on this show.
Yeah. Well, he's like a major babyface, like, you know.
Yeah, he's a babyface
being saved by Rey Mysterio, and here he's just like, Rey wants nothing to do with him.
Yeah, it is bizarre. So Becky comes out for her match, and during the commercial break, insults the crowd, stating she's rich and famous, that's why she left, and my stepdad's from here, but he left for Dublin.
Ooh. You know, if she was really doing the Trump thing, she could have gotten really political.
Oh boy, yeah. They probably
we're gonna take over. We really need Northern Ireland for our defensive purposes.
So Becky and Maxine Dupri have their 58th match together for the Intercontinental title.
I really like watching Natalia come out here with Maxine because she was just like, I mean, she was almost essentially playing a parody of her old character, like all smiles, wearing this like ridiculous like red hat. And I mean, really kind of playing up just being overly friendly, which is essentially what her old character has always been. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This would be like Wade just like calling me up out of nowhere and just, hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah. You want to hold my hand as we walk down the aisle as I wear my big red hat?
I mean, you and I usually do that when we're out in public, but I would still be a little suspicious. Maxine, man, she goes for this drop kick that I think there was an airplane that flew through between the foot and the contact. Maxine makes her comeback. Straps come down. Manhandle slam. They really got these counters down for the manhandle slam. They just went for so many, and Maxine has an answer for all of them. There's a superplex and DDT by Becky, and then she takes the turnbuckle pad off the corner, and we do several teases of Maxine avoiding going into the exposed buckle, but then the manhandle slam gets countered. She goes back to the ankle lock, and Becky gets knocked into the exposed buckle, and then Maxine goes for a spinning wheel kick. And I think that Becky got whiplash from the wind that was created above her. This thing was Edson Barboza. This was not. And down goes Becky from the phantom kick. And unfortunately, no one's going to remember that because that immediately led to Natty placing Becky's foot on the rope to save her. And Maxine stands up. After everything, and Becky hits a manhandle slam and wins in 11 minutes and 35 seconds. And Natty beats the hell out of Maxine for a long, long time. Finally, she puts the sharpshooter on her as Michael Cole screams, "Do your job, ref!" And my question at the end of this was, if you were Natty and I was Maxine,
yeah, of course,
wouldn't you wait for me to win the title and then you attack me? Wouldn't that be advantageous? You could have your cake and eat it too.
I mean,
why would I want you to lose this match?
We don't know Natty's motivations for doing this. All right, like, given her, I suppose, like,
her motivation is not the title.
Yeah, that's what I kind of meant. Like, we know that they have some sort of teacher-student relationship, and like, this could just ultimately all result in some sort of twisted lesson from Natalia, and therefore her motivation wouldn't be to win the championship. It would be to make sure. My motivation would be for you, John Pollock, to make sure that you learned your lesson somehow. All right.
Maybe she was on her side up until that spinning wheel kick.
That's why.
Yeah, and that was it.
You're not going to win off of a phantum kick. All right. You do that.
That's not how we taught you in the dungeon. And she just turned in the moment. That makes sense, actually.
It makes total sense.
I'm your teacher here. This is me. This is my reputation.
I like that answer a lot. Yeah. Honestly, the crowd didn't respond as loudly as I thought they might for this sort of turn, given how long it's been set up. And also, I don't know, the fact that it's like, it's a moment, I suppose, like in a you know, UK show where like these crowds are known to be really, really hot. So
this wasn't a moment's crowd. This was a, we want a clean finish crowd. I love it.
Could be that. Could be that.
Take your moments and give us some steak. That's what they wanted. I think this also was somewhat hurt by the fact that Natalya's been off TV forever. It's not like this has been some relationship that I think had any emotional pull with people, because, yeah, you know, the connections and the vignettes aired, but I mean, they've been so separate that, I mean, this was almost like just a neon light when she showed up that I think it somewhat lessened this, as opposed to these two. Like, could you imagine if Rhea Ripley turned on Io Sky? It's like these two come off like these two are attached at the hip. People would be like, last week when we were talking about Brody King and Bandido, like, there were a lot of people after Wednesday's Dynamite that were so happy that the turn didn't happen because they love these two. Mm-hmm. Like, you have an emotional connection with that audience as well.
I don't think you were ever going to achieve that with Maxine and Natalya.
Well, they didn't even give this much of a try, but you were right. Yeah. Like the crowd just kind of took this was just a post-match beatdown and not a significant turn of a babyface.
And unfortunately, I mean, for a Becky match in the island of Ireland, I mean, I didn't think this match received all that well of a reaction too. And I really do think by this point, I felt it the last time on the Netflix debut, or sorry, anniversary. I especially felt it now, where I don't think these crowds are responding well to Maxine as a babyface anymore. They just, for one thing, okay, the wrestling has greatly improved, but it's still at a level that I think is quite beneath, you know, the standard. And you unfortunately saw it in the closing moments of this particular match where, you know, it did not look pretty, that kick. But I think they were so enamored with the combination and with the idea of Maxine looking improved that I think they gave it maybe one too many chances. So I understand dragging it out one more time just to do this turn. But from this point on, is Maxine versus Natalya as a baby, Maxine as a baby face, is that going to spark that much? I have my concerns.
Yeah, and if they do a follow-up next week, they're in Toronto, they are not going to, that crowd is going to be behind Natty and not Maxine. I could very well see at least some Toronto crowds would react that way.
From lashes for days with the viral Liquid Lash Extensions mascara to awakening your eyes with lift and color from the Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to when you want to amplify your everyday look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. And for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to help communities thrive. So every time you use your favorite Thrive Cosmetics product, you're helping communities you care about, too. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
January is your month to beat the price increase at the Post Wrestling Cafe. Before our regular tier jumps to $8, you have a chance to lock in the old existing price for all of 2026, but you've got to do it before February 1st. Also this month, we kick off our WWE Unreal Season 2 reviews with weekly releases covering each and every episode. We'll also be looking back at the Okada-Tanahashi feud dating back to 2012 with some of their most famous matches. Plus, Chris Jericho's A Lion's Tale will be the subject of this month's book club. All that and more is yours at postwrestlingcafe.com. Pierce, who is all over the show, meets with AJ Styles and says, you know, you don't have to accept Gunther's challenge, and AJ's off to call Wendy. And Paul Heyman walks in, and Bron Breakker has been banned from the building, so he's not here, still on suspension. And Pierce explains that when the Vision have their six-man tag, Pierce is also going to be out ringside tonight. Kathy Kelly interviews Los Americanos, and Kathy Kelly was asking El Grande, how does it feel to be in the main event of the television show on Saturday in front of a sold-out crowd in Mexico City, and tonight you're going to be in a comedy six-man? And El Grande had to think about this long and hard, and he says that these people have no culture, just like Javon Evans, these stupid gringos. And we got Bravo and Rio speaking, which I don't think they have spoken yet in these characters.
No.
And I mean, boy, should El Grande, he can carry that weight, I think, for the future.
I mean, you know, given that they're in the UK, I think having Bate and Dunn speak as like fake Mexicans was like maybe extra humorous. At least I thought it was. Man, Grande like really had to make that flight. You know, like if
him and Ray had to go and him and Ray both had to get from Mexico City back to, you know, I mean, you had like,
but Graves was here like last week too, you know, so
Graves didn't leave. I don't think Graves had to do.
I'm saying if like Graves, if he started in America and didn't do last week, I'm sure he would have went live as well. I would assume, you know what I mean? Like Graves would have to go back and forth. El Grande is just going once.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Graves stayed because Graves was on SmackDown Friday.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
It meant he would have had to go back and forth.
Yes. But yeah, they had to make it all the way over here. And then Judgment Day's in the back. Raquel says that Vicar is still not cleared. She's coming for her title. Liv and Roxanne are going for the tag titles on Saturday night's main event this weekend.
How stupid does Raquel look? I mean, after what you said last week, you know? Like, she beat this woman up so badly, and now she's upset that she's not cleared.
I mean, she didn't think this plan out. Maybe the initial attack was fine, but then you had to do the follow-up attack backstage, and that's the killer.
Yeah, gee, I wonder why she's not
cleared. She had to take.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's like, man, I'm not going to get booked now on these two big shows coming up because my opponent's not cleared. So they're all going for belts. Balor says he is not leaving without the title tonight. Yes, he will. Jey Uso comes out through the crowd and for the second week in a row just cuts a quick promo in front of the crowd. Although, and Wei, you thought about this last week, he does say that we all love Big Jim and Trinity. So hopefully everything is okay, but I guess that explains the absence of Jimmy Uso these weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the late stages of her pregnancy, and so that seems to be what is being speculated and maybe insinuated through Jey Uso's promo here. I totally forgot that they issued an open challenge last week, you know?
Yeah, so. The New Day are pissed about this because they answered the open challenge and they tell Pierce, we flew over here on our favorite holiday of MLK Day, and Grayson Waller pipes in, mine too. And they are owed a title shot. Pierce explains they will have a fatal four-way next week to determine the number one contenders. So that's quite the distance from answering the open challenge to a shot you're owed to. Now you've got to win a four-way to get this shot that in theory you had already.
Well, I mean, they were going to answer an open challenge. Doesn't mean they were actually going to get it.
So in storyline, I mean, are there expenses? Like, is that all on them? Like, they made this whole trip to Belfast.
I mean, they are independent contractors, but I believe the flights would be covered. I mean, in storyline, though, okay. Maybe in storyline, there's like a union, John, all right, in this world of professional wrestlers.
That would be awesome if in storyline they were all unionized. They play unionized athletes on television.
Sure. Yeah.
Certainly not method actors. Logan Paul, Bronson Reed, and Austin Theory against Rey Mysterio, Penta, and Dragon Lee. So early on, Logan is doing Penta's strut and they get the advantage on Rey. The babyfaces hit a triple dive spot, and the crowd is singing. They were really loud throughout this match. They got into it as Dragon Lee is now getting beaten down. Lee bounced off the rope into a Rana, makes the tag to Rey, and of course, Rey goes for the 619, gets stopped. Penta makes a tag, hits the Penta driver. All six men are in, and Rey ends up on the shoulders of Logan on the floor and gets press slammed onto the barricade. Lee hits a Tope Con Hero, and then Heyman and Pierce are complaining on the apron as Heyman is upset with the referee. The brass knuckles get handed to Austin Theory, but he's caught. Pierce takes them away, leaves them on the apron as Rey grabs the brass knucks and uses them on Theory, setting up a Mexican destroyer by Penta to pin Theory in 15 minutes, 2 seconds. Michael Cole justifies. Logan Paul introduced the knucks. Rey did what he had to do. And the babyfaces win here.
Yeah, it has to be a rare case of Rey Mysterio cheating to win. I mean, this is one of those justified scenarios of cheating, I suppose. I thought the finish was a bit overbooked and convoluted, if I'm honest. I mean, it required the ref to be distracted, allowing Logan to send the knuckles to Reed. Then Reed had to be admonished by the ref, and then required Pierce taking the knuckles, resulting in that shouting match with Heyman. And finally, Rey grabs the knuckles to use on Reed. I mean, I felt like they could have maybe cleaned that up a little bit.
Imagine explaining it to these six beforehand. This is how we've crafted this one.
I'm sure there was a chart or a diagram. I thought the match itself was quite good. I really like seeing these three luchadors together. I think all three of them bring like a slightly different flavor, and it somehow continues to make Dragon Lee feel like a relevant person here on the show, despite not being in that tag with AJ. They kind of like, this feels like the replacement for the LWO at this point, does it not? That's not really a thing anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to see t-shirts on these guys.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm glad to see them get the win here.
Jackie,
what are your thoughts on Austin Theory now? Like, what are we, like a month in?
Yeah, you know? he has not lit the world on fire. I think that there were better candidates for this kind of a role. And I think like even using the brass knuckles, I think the fact that they pinned him here, I think it, like, he does kind of feel like he's in the fall guy role of this group. And maybe that was the best case scenario when he joined this group. I don't see this guy breaking through that. He's going to be this revelation of, you know, a big star that, you know, they continually seem to believe like they can bring out of this guy. And it has not struck me a month into this story.
No, it hasn't for me either. Meanwhile, I think Logan has been like doing well as just sort of like the annoying guy in the group. Certainly he generates a great deal of heat, like he did tonight with the crowd chanting and singing for like mostly at him. And Bronson continues to be like a really, really great heavy in the group.
Punk is interviewed by Jackie, and he's playing an away game, and we're going into double overtime, and that's the pressure that gets me out of bed. I'm the best in the world, not just in the U.S., and I'm going to break Finn Balor tonight. Pretty bare bones promo from Punk. And then we had the Martin Luther King Jr. video for MLK Day. Very nice video that they aired here. Heyman is with Pierce backstage, and they're stating... So Pierce gets a phone call, and Heyman seems to know what this phone call is and that Pierce's job could be at stake. So who was calling him? Was this Nick?
Nikon?
Was it Paul?
Could be. Could have been Mark Shapiro.
Maybe he was asking him about if he's been following the president's council for fitness.
Yeah, could be.
All things. Yeah, what would could have been Mark.
Are you trying to play a clip?
No, I wasn't. It didn't feel natural. So,
Sorry.
Io and Rhea come out and they state once they beat Liv and Roxanne this Saturday, they will both participate in the Royal Rumble. So Liv and Roxanne come out. They too are entering the Royal Rumble, and Raquel too. She's also entering the Royal Rumble. So everyone's declaring. Rhea asks, how's that going to work with all three of you? And with that, Raquel appears, attacks them, and lays out the champions. And the three of them stand over Rhea and Io, which this kind of just feels like a match on Saturday for Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yeah, it does. Although I do like think whatever Liv... I mean, the intrigue is between Liv and Roxanne, and who exactly is being manipulated here. Because, I mean, I think Liv in particular, is doing a great job in these backstage segments where she's essentially playing, like, you know, like Mean Girls, Rachel McAdams and Mean Girls, where she's just being incredibly fake in front of somebody's face. And Roxanne kind of is that as well. And so we're kind of left as the viewer to decipher who is actually being the more insincere of the other, who is manipulating the other. And I think, like, Liv in particular has been really strong in these segments since she's come back.
These are the five participants we have. I think there's a very high probability of Liv Morgan winning the Rumble.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Given how front and center she is in all of the videos, like the
promo, it would make a lot of sense. Like, she's been the one that she's pushing Roxanne, she's pushing Raquel to go for the title, and then she's the one. And it would be a great spot if she can have something that is like a plausible deniability, but ends up dumping Raquel or even both of them in some spot.
Yeah. I feel like she might be the favorite.
Like, looking at both sides of the Raw and SmackDown rosters, like, Liv is probably at the top of my list.
Unless, like, a Bianca, like, even if Bianca comes back, is that Bianca Jade, I suppose, would be one, but, like, there's not that much, like, feuding built yet. Anyway, yeah, we that's another conversation for later.
Bayley is frustrated backstage. I would too. And Lyra comes in. I hate losing, but I also hate feeling like I let my friend down. And Bayley realized she called her friend. Bayley says, "You can never let me down. We've still got all of 2026 to look forward to. And you're joining the Rumble. And I'm joining the Rumble. Wait, would you be happy if I won the Royal Rumble? Of course I would." And they just hug each other and they celebrate.
Well, I think the idea behind this was like Bayley, like, they were trying to show us was having one of her, like, Mr. Hyde episodes. And Lyra saw this and figured, like, she would be able to calm her down by, like, I guess, putting on this show of self-doubt. And, I mean, it did snap Bayley out of it. So I guess.
Oh, so she's working her.
Yeah. Like, she's showing that, I guess, she knows how to deal with her friend's mood swings, which I at this point, like, I think it's just something to do with these two. Like, I don't even think it's figuring into all that much, like, in the matches, nor really anywhere else these days, this sort of Jekyll and Hyde thing.
Yeah, I don't know. This was odd.
It's not that great, no.
El Grande Americano and Javon Evans. This was unfortunate. So there is a spot early on where El Grande is on the edge of the apron and Javon is inside the ring, and they both lean over and they clonk heads together. But the match just continues. Like, they're not showing any, like, effects of this. They just continue. And then Javon goes for a springboard clothesline into the ring, and we go to commercial break. And unlike most of the matches on this show, they don't continue the feed on Netflix. We just go to commercials, and then we come back, and Javon's on the floor. He's favoring his arm, and then all of a sudden, Cole and Graves announce that the match is over and Javon cannot continue. And they are speculating that he has some kind of a shoulder injury. And it sounded like they legitimately did not know what the source of the move was. It doesn't sound like they did anything during the commercial break. So the match is just waiting.
What do you mean it doesn't sound like they did anything during the commercial break?
I mean, it indicated, like, Cole and Graves were stating, like, that they didn't even know what happened. So I don't know if they went to break.
They could just not have pinpointed the point of injury.
Well, I don't know. I saw from people that were commenting online that it looked like they didn't even, like, continue, like, as the commercial break began. But I don't know for sure, regardless. It was a very weird one because, again, you're watching this and thinking, did he injure his shoulder? Like, was it off the springboard? Was it something we didn't see? So afterwards, PW Insider reported that it appears he's okay, and there was concern he might have actually had a concussion, but it's not definitive, but he probably doesn't have a concussion. And when I heard that, I went back to that spot where it looked like they just knocked heads into each other. It was one where they're both leaning down at the same time, and you can see like they and Cole or Graves, they even like made a reference of, well, that's a meeting of the minds. And that spot, it's like if there was some kind of head injury, I could have seen it being that particular spot. But again, like for years we talked about this, and I am always going to applaud that they make these choices. And just if, especially if they had any concern about it being the head, just wave the match off. No crowd is going to be upset. And that's what this was. It was just a tough ending to this match, obviously, but that's the latest. So it sounds like from several outlets that it sounds like he is okay. We'll see. So that was the deal with Javon.
I mean, unfortunate, but also like great that this is the way that they choose to handle it. I suppose like what they would have waited until the commercial break before assessing. Is that it? Is that sort of the idea?
It might have been. Yeah. Okay. They might have just waited the commercial and checked on him and they just waved it off.
Great. Like, let's normalize all this. This is cool. I mean, not cool that he got hurt, but cool that it was just as simple as this.
Hello, Braden Harrington here from Up Next. You can catch us live every Tuesday here at Post Wrestling as we cover NXT. But if you search Poison Rana in your YouTube or podcast app or social media of choice, you can check out all the other wrestling content that we create, podcasts, and so much more. Visit poisonrana.ca and keep it lit.
Well, Jackie interviews Finn Balor. He respects Punk, but questions his judgment fighting him on his turf in front of my people, and there will be a new Irish champion. So unlike Becky, they were pushing for the negative, the pro Balor crowd in this. I think they wanted to create like a Cena type environment here. And it was interesting, like when they came out, like this was a crowd that they were very pro Balor, but they were not anti-Punk.
No, but it was certainly more swayed towards Finn.
It was like he was the favorite, but it wasn't as though they were like booing Punk out of the building or anything. No. Like they still saw him as a huge star, and yeah, for a crowd too. That's like when has Punk like I don't know if Punk has ever wrestled here before. So it's probably a lot of people who have never seen CM Punk before either. So. The latest clip they have released, which I believe is the first episode of Unreal that we will be talking about on Tuesday, centers around the R-Truth contract renewal. And boy, I can't wait to dive into this episode. So let's just call this damage control. So Paul Levesque just throws R-Truth under the bus here, says, you know, we were deep in negotiations. And sometimes when you're far apart, you just decide to... part ways, and said, you know, we said we're not going to renew your contract, and then R-Truth went on social media and said he was fired. He was never fired. And then we have Road Dogg saying, from a business perspective, they made the right choice. I was like, okay, this is going to be quite the episode here. So
well, you could have had R-Truth say that he took it as a firing.
Well, dude, if I told you that you're finishing up next week, like, yeah, my deal's up. You're not giving me a new contract. Like, we're arguing semantics here.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want you to work here anymore. We don't want to pay you, and we don't want you here anymore. That is, your job is up, and we're not renewing you. Like, this is just total semantics.
Sure, yeah. I'm just saying, like, even in his own interview clip, Truth is phrasing it as if he... there was another interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a very interesting episode. I don't want to go just based on these clips. We'll see how it is all explained in the end. I hope this episode ends with R-Truth with just like the money train, just a Brinks truck showing up at his house and saying, "Yeah, well, who won? Who won this?"
I want to see them twist it into a happy ending, as most of these episodes tend to. You know, like, how do they turn this into, like, you know, a scenario where everybody seems really satisfied?
Oh, it'll be R-Truth got emotional and went online. And, you know, we learn from these mistakes. But we'll see. We'll be reviewing this Tuesday on The Cafe. Kathy Kelly interviews Ray, Penta, and Dragon Lee. And Ray calls this his vision. And all three are entering the Royal Rumble, including Dragon Lee, for the first time ever. He says he's very excited. And Ray has brought a giant cardboard head of Paul Heyman that the three of them together were able to bend in half.
I totally missed this. I caught up. I didn't catch up.
This was so goofy, dude. And they had a bit of a struggle because Penta tried to rip it and it was not ripping. So they had to go to plan B and just bend it in half. And then they finally broke it.
This is what makes the Netflix commercial breaks worth watching.
Yes.
It's like this.
The Vision meet with Pierce, and Pierce says Breaker is allowed to come to Raw next week so he can talk to him man to man, and says this has nothing to do with the phone call, and Heyman will bring Braun next week. In walks AJ. He said, I talked to my wife, and she told me, kick his ass. So Adam Pierce makes it official for the Rumble. AJ versus Gunther with AJ's career on the line. Kabuki Warriors are in the locker room, and Asuka blames Kairi for losing the titles and for losing the number one contenders match last week. She says, it hurts almost as much as Io turning on me. And Kairi, who was so amazing here, is apologetic. I will make sure that you win the Royal Rumble, Asuka. I will do anything. And Asuka responds, good girl. Don't make me yell at you again. This is maybe their best segment that they have had together. I thought this was excellent. Done in this change room.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
This was so good. Asuka is like exceptionally creepy. And Kairi is just amazing as just the fear that she is able to project of this woman. I just think these two have you could never script this chemistry. It just, you either have this together or you don't. It's something else. Well,
it's really weird in that we often grade professional wrestling and even these backstage segments by how realistic they feel. There's nothing realistic about any of this. This is some sort of hyper reality where two Japanese women are somehow breaking in and out of English with each other. And the dialogue in this case is mostly taking place within English, but it's all weird anyway. So I think it makes total sense in this sort of weird reality where, they're playing it up so much that this feels like a really unique type of cartoon. Where they're essentially kind of these comic book characters that are, one's a manipulator, the other is an incredibly terrified woman, and so I took this to mean that they're kind of moving away from these two versus Io and Rhea, and I feel now the story might be about Kairi being able to get out of Asuka's manipulation to build us to Kairi versus Asuka, so they might that's the sense that I think they're going to right now.
I want Kairi to screw up and accidentally eliminate Asuka. I think that would be the best elimination.
That'd be awesome. Sure.
Yes. And then we go to the main event of CM Punk, Finn Balor. This had just an awesome atmosphere. They came out. Punk got a really great reaction. He came out first, and then Finn comes out to his old theme. So this is Paul Levesque's new thing, whether it's Johnny Gargano or Gunther. He just brings people back to the black and gold era when he really wants to. Remember that one week Gargano got his old theme back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they went right back to the generic.
Well, he's a heel.
Yeah. Well, why did they do it that one week? He was a heel then too?
I don't know, actually. Not sure. Okay.
Well, match begins, and I thought Punk looked significantly better in this match than some of his other lengthier matches. I thought these two gelled really well together. They've never had a match together all this time. Balor climbs the buckle and gets drilled with a knee into a superplex. There's dueling chants. Balor hits a tope con hero and goes for the coup de grace, and Punk gets out of the way, hits the GTS, and that's our first near fall as Balor kicks out. Punk goes to the Anaconda Vice, but Balor makes the rope and then hits another shotgun dropkick, hits the coup de grace, and Punk kicks out. So the place is going wild. Punk tries for another GTS. It's turned into a small package, and then as Punk kicks out, rolls to his feet and hits the GTS to keep him down in 16 minutes and 13 seconds. He offers his hand. Balor accepts, and Punk shows his respect for Balor, lets him take it in the middle as Punk exits, and... And Balor, after the show, he would address the crowd and really put over this audience. And I thought this was a really great main event. I enjoyed this more than the Punk Breaker match from a few weeks ago.
Good match. Yeah. Good to see Balor wrestle as a babyface again. I mean, they certainly managed to make the night feel special, you know, having him. I mean, it was the most special he's felt in a long time. And the setting, of course, you know, really was the reason for it. And
leaning into it. Like, there was a time, like, they would have had Balor just do the Becky deal and try to heal him here. And instead, it was like, okay, our champion can be he's a babyface most of the time, but here in this setting, he's not the favorite. And you can make that work. This doesn't harm Punk in any way. It's like, it's exactly that mindset. Like, it's an away game, and it made for such a more compelling like build up to this, that you had Balor. And I think coming off the Cody Drew match, you at least had like the specter of like, what would they do, some kind of upset here? I don't think many imagine that, but you do have that fresh in people's mind, and I think you could lean into that as well. So I thought this worked out very well.
And same for Balor as well. I mean, you know, having him turn babyface to this degree does kind of like potentially affect your chemistry within the Judgment Day. And I think it'll be interesting to see of how much of this babyface persona they might retain going forward when they're back in the States. But I mean, no matter the case, it was certainly worth doing tonight, because it was a reminder of just how special of a talent Finn Balor is.
Well, there you go. That was Raw from Northern Ireland, highlighted by the main event and a pretty strong crowd that they had throughout this show. You had the unfortunate Javon Evans injury as well. I would not say that the Becky Lynch-Maxine Dupree match really delivered the turn afterwards. We kind of let our thoughts be known on that as well. And then you had the six-man in there with the Vision and the non-LWO as well. That was a fun match as well. Booking.
Yeah,
aside.
I thought so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How would you say they handled the Rumble build up tonight? We now at least are getting people declaring. We've got, you know, two big matches with Drew, and then with these AJ Styles Gunther match. How would you feel the Rumble is? Because next week's your go home shows.
I think it's been fine. You know, like, the Rumble matches don't really need a whole lot. You know, the story's already built in, and you just kind of need big names declaring. And I thought like you had a decent amount of people doing that tonight. So it put the Rumble matches in focus pretty well. And then you also have the announcement of, what is it? AJ versus Gunther in a career versus career match, which is crazy.
Well, career versus nothing.
Match. Sorry. Career versus nothing match. And then, you know, whatever the Sami Zayn match, the Drew McIntyre match is going to be, plus I would assume another match on top of that. So, like, between those five, that feels like a pretty full WWE-level PLE at this point.
All right, we are going to say goodbye to everyone here on the YouTube feed, but we have a lot coming up this week on the Post Wrestling Cafe. Way and I are back on Tuesday. We're going to be doing a review of the first episode of WWE Unreal Season 2. We will be doing weekly releases covering each of the episodes each Tuesday beginning tomorrow. So you can sign up to the Post Wrestling Cafe for that. And then Thursday, we've got our latest retrospective. And on the lineup this week, it is the legendary feud between Kazuchika Okada and Hiroshi Tanahashi. We are going to be looking at five of their classic matches, beginning with the New Beginning match from 2012 and going up through Wrestle Kingdom 10 in 2016, which was their second Tokyo Dome contest against one another. So that'll be the focus of Rewind Away this week. And then going into the weekend, we will have all your regular favorites. Rewind to SmackDown on Friday with Wei and Neil, and Saturday night's main event with myself and Wei Ting. That will be here on the YouTube channel. And the time is ticking. We're getting to the end of the month. So do want to remind people that we are introducing a price increase at the regular tier for cafe members. But if you sign up before February 1st, you can lock in that old price for the rest of 2026. Whether you're going month by month or you want to sign up for the annual plan, you can lock in the old price for all of 2026, but you have to do it before February 1st.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you. But we have about a week and some days left. So there we go.
All right. And then we got book club at the end of the month as well. A Lion's Tale, where I'm nearly at completion. Mm. So there you have it. That'll be discussed at the end of the month as well. So goodbye to everyone on YouTube. Stay safe and take care of one another.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.